come for a half an hour, you can come for an hour, you can come for 3 hours. As long as you stay, I'll stay. Amen. Amen. So keep in mind, we had a funeral here on Thursday for Nikki, and she was already in glory. And I was a little jealous. I wanted to switch places with her, and she told me no, no way on earth. So, but God gave me a word, and I felt that we needed to hear it here this morning. So for those that were at the funeral, this is repetition some, because this has been overhauled. It has been redesigned. It has been rewritten. So it's not exactly the same, but it's similar. A four-letter word. How many do not like four-letter words? I don't like four-letter words. Amen. When we're talking about vulgarity and taking the name of the Lord in vain, I don't like that. But in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, we read it at the start of the service. I love this verse because it talks about the rapture of the church. After these things I looked, and behold, a door, not a window, but a door standing open in heaven. And we know that a door is to use to enter and exit, correct?
That's correct.
A window, well, these are big enough. We put big enough ones in here that if we had a fire and you wanted to jump, it's not the trip down that hurts. It's that sudden stop at the bottom. But you could actually exit through those windows. But the door is a lot easier. Amen? A door open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Now, we've all been using doors all our lives. Amen? Some people, if the door is glass and it's clean and nice, no fingerprints, no scratches, we walk right into it. Anybody ever done that? I've done that. That doesn't feel good, especially when you wear glasses. But there have been doors of all sizes, all weights, all colors. We have sliding glass doors now, right? We have French doors, right? All kinds of different doors. Jesus called himself the door. In John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9, then Jesus said to them again, more assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I like it that he said sheep and not goats. Amen? Though, I'll be honest with you, if I had to select a pet between a goat and a sheep, it would always be a goat. Because they have a personality second to none. I had one when I was growing up. It was fantastic. Wasn't so great when we came home for Christmas dinner and sat down to eat the meal, and I looked and it was goat meat. And I said to Dad, I said, where'd we get the goat meat? He said, it was on the hill back there, and it was fat and it was nice, so we put it on the plate. My goat, I did not eat a single bit. Because that goat was fun. We rode that goat. That goat kicked us. That goat butted us. That was a blast. But Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. The second time he says it. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. We'll go in and out and find pastor. Any attempt to enter heaven by any other door is a theft. There's no other way to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. I mean, the Hindus, they can talk all they want. The Buddhists can talk all they want. The Mormons can talk all they want. And the JWs, they can say all they want, but there's only one way to heaven. And you know, it's amazing. It's amazing to me because the one way that's the easiest, that's the freest, that's the most logical is the one that everybody says is not. They don't pick the easy way, they pick the hard way. I'm going to pick the easy way. And most of us here this morning have chosen that door called Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. There's no other way to heaven. Now, the Apostle John is very careful to explain that heaven is not a condition. Heaven is a place. Heaven is not a condition. I've got an aunt and uncle. Well, my uncle, he already passed on, but my aunt, later on in life, they got hoodwinked, deceived by the devil, and decided that heaven is spiritual. It's not a place, it's a condition. But it's not a condition, it's a place. John was very specific. He saw a door standing open in heaven. He didn't say, I saw something like a door. He didn't say, I saw something that could be a door. He stated a fact, a door open, standing open in heaven. He said, it was open for John. It was open for my parents. It was open for Nikki. It was open for anybody that will say, I'm sorry, Lord, I want to serve you. That door stands open. It's interesting to note that he says a door standing open. Do you know that that door's never shut?
Yes.
Glory to God. That door's never shut. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter when I do it. If I go to that door and walk through and confessing my sin before God, that door remains open for me. Amen? That door. Hallelujah. Must have been a supreme moment for John. Can you imagine? Now, where was John? John was on the Isle of Patmos. Now, that wasn't a five-star resort with nice, crystal clear, sandy beaches. That was a work colony. How many know what I mean when I say a work colony? That was a slave colony. That was a prison. And they would go, and their purpose was to mine stone for the Roman Empire so they could build their roads. And what they did all day long was crush stone, beat stone with a sledgehammer. It was not a pretty place. John was not on vacation. John was in hard labor. And all of a sudden, he gets transported in the spirit. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, he said. And he gets transported into heaven. Glory be to God. And he sees a door open. What a great thing. From that work colony, from that slave labor, leaving his sledgehammer there, he gets taken into heaven. And he hears a voice that says, come up here, and I will show you things that must take place after this. Immediately, he says in verse 2, I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, when when that door stood open, when he was able to go through that door, he was invited to see Jesus himself. He wasn't seeing an angel. He saw the four beasts. He saw the 24 elders. He saw what we will see once the rapture takes place. He saw. But he wanted to see Jesus. And he went to see Jesus. This door promises several things. First of all, it promised you and I mansions. Right? John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Verse 1, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Glory to God. A mansion. You know, he doesn't say here, I grew up on the coast of Colombia, and it was real interesting. In fact, my father took a slide presentation of how they built their houses. They would go out and cut down a tree about that big around, and then they'd come back and dig a hole and put it in the ground, and every meter, 39 inches, they would put one of those stakes, one of those trees in the ground. And then they would take bamboo, and they would split it in half. And on the outside of that tree, they would nail the bamboo horizontally, and on the inside, they would nail it horizontally. And then they would mix up mud, and they would put mud between the bamboo that they had placed. The bamboo was about 3 or 4 inches apart was all, and it would hold that mud in place. And then when it dried, they had wonderful stucco that they used. They would go out and they would collect all the excrement of the cows and the horses.
Yes.
They didn't collect the pigs, because that stinks too bad. The cow and the horses, and they would mix it with water, and then with their hands, they would smear it all over that and make a nice finish. Then they would whitewash it with water and lime. We called it kal. Water and lime, they would whitewash it, and it would look nice, and there was no stench to it. And then they would put palm branches on the roof. They called it thatch roof hut. It was a special kind of a palm that grew wild, and they would put that on there, and they would have their roof, and the houses were so cool. It would be 115 outside, and you'd walk in, and it'd be a nice, cool 100 or 95, real nice and cool in there, so much better than outside. But he didn't say I was going to get one of those. Hello? I don't know. Anybody ever driven up Rodeo Drive? I haven't driven up Rodeo Drive either. The closest thing I've got to it is here on Albany Shaker Road. Is that where all the poor people live? Help me. Or is it Loudonville Road? No, it's Albany Shaker Road. There's some gorgeous houses there. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know, these little houses where poor people live. They only have one bedroom and one bath, those little houses. No, they're gigantic and they're gorgeous. Mansions, we would call them. We don't live in one of those. And I've always said, it's very interesting. You can buy all these fancy houses. There's a celebrity that's selling theirs for millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars. And I looked at the house, and Emily sold some fancy houses. What's the most expensive house you've sold around here, Emily? $700,000. I guarantee you they don't sleep any better in that house than I sleep in my $160,000 home. How many know what I'm talking about? But that's a little superior to my house. You've been in my house, so that's just a little bit superior to my house. A mansion. Listen to me. That is nothing in comparison to what I'm getting over there. Glory be to God. The Bible says there'll be no restricted areas over there. When I worked for Nielsen Computer Research and TV Ratings, they would randomly select a house, and a lot of them down in Myrtle Beach in that area were in gated communities. How many know what I'm talking about? And if you didn't know the code, you couldn't get in. Restricted areas. Boy, did I get in trouble. Because I would sit there and wait till someone's coming out, and then zing, I'd go right in. And you weren't supposed to do that. But no restricted areas, no privileged or better classes. Now, we don't know that much here. We've never been a society that has put much stock in the classes. But there are places around this world that they have, well, in India they have the caste system. They don't have the caste system in Pakistan, do they? But they have classes, right? And you're supposed to stay within your class. You're not supposed to jump classes. We, you know, that's not the case here, but in heaven it's going to be even better. Now, some translations say, in my heaven there are many houses. But I like the translation mansions. Now, I know that God has the best reserved for you and I.
Amen.
Now Peter got a glimpse of that when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he said to the Lord, he said, let's build 3 tabernacles and let's stay here. And Jesus said, no, why? Jesus doesn't build tabernacles, he builds mansions. Glory be to God. Amen. Now you can have anything you want here on earth, or anything you can afford here on earth. But when you get to heaven, we will get based on what we did here on earth. Amen? If you don't want to serve the Lord, I was going to say that's fine with me, but it's really not, because I would prefer you did. You go to hell. And someone said, I don't believe a God of love would ever send anybody to hell. He doesn't. You buy the ticket and you choose to go there. It's your choice. He offers the best and you choose the worst. You've heard the saying, that person's got a Cadillac taste on a VW budget. I say Yugo budget, but nobody knows what a Yugo was. We do, right, Jose? That was one of the greatest cars ever made, right? Bad news. Bad news. If you got 40,000 miles out of that car, you were lucky, lucky, lucky. But God doesn't give that kind of stuff. God gives mansions. After 6 days, Matthew chapter 17, Jesus took Peter and James and John and his brother and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them. Elijah and Moses in verse 3 came to talk to them, and Peter got excited in verse 4. Listen, he answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And God, and Jesus said, no, I've got mansions prepared. I don't need tabernacles. Glory be to God. The housing God has prepared for you and I makes the best on earth look cheap.
Yes.
Now, there's a little house down here on the Hudson River. I've been to it several times. It's a little house. It was the summer house of a very wealthy individual. And it's got beautiful gardens. It's got glorious appointments inside the house. It is just wonderful. It's called the Vanderbilt Mansion. Anybody ever been there? Who's been there? Amen. Got in there and they said I couldn't take pictures. I had my camera with me and they say you couldn't take pictures. I don't know what they do now, because you can take pictures with a cell phone and nobody hardly knows you're taking pictures. You know, you can be pretending to talk on the pitch. Right? But it is a beautiful place. You know, that's going to look like a slum house compared to what God has for you. Now, I'm not stretching my imagination. He does everything well. Anybody seen a beautiful sunset? That's him. Anybody seen a beautiful sunrise? That's him. How about a beautiful rainbow? That's him. How about fall foliage? That's him. Amen? That's what he does. He does it all well. Glory be to God. There are mansions in heaven. See, heaven is going to be so fantastic, because it's going to solve the problem of decay. Now, in Latin America, when someone dies, we bury them within 24 hours. My sister-in-law died in the early morning hours of Saturday, and she was in the grave by Sunday at 3 o'clock. We had to fly down to Barranquilla, and we were met by an important person of Avianca Airlines, and they whisked us through customs and through immigration, and we were rushed to the church, and when we got there, the funeral was already in session. That's the way we do things. And the body is not embalmed. How many know if you don't embalm a body, it's going to decay? Now, you don't know what it's like, but in Latin America, when you get done with your donkey, you just let it loose. That's what we used to do. And the best grass for the donkey is on the side of the road. How many? Yeah, right? Because they don't have any lawnmowers that come and cut the side of the road, or weed whackers, or tractors with brush hogs. They don't have that. So the grass grows tall on the side of the road, and the donkeys that are let loose, they eat it, and sooner or later they die. And there they decay, right on the side of the road. My father would begin to feel that smell as we drove down the road, and he would slow right up. And he would say, "Son, do you guys have any bread? We've got fresh, warm meat here that you can make yourself a sandwich." My mother would get very upset. And sooner or later, after several weeks, there'd be nothing but bones on the side of the road. Heaven solves the problem of decay. Heaven solves the problem of sickness. Heaven solves the problem of financial difficulties. Heaven solves the problem, all the problems that we put up with here. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15. "Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit in corruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. I know I'm wicked good looking now, but I'm going to be better then. Bless God. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. When this corruptible is put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the what? The victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. Mansions will be forever new. You know what's great about my mansion? I don't have to buy a new roof. I don't have to put new floors in. I don't have to paint. We bought our house. I won't tell you what it looked like. It was not good. The fellow that occupied it before us was a chain smoker. And we had to wash every wall down. And when we washed the walls down, the tar ran down off the walls in ringlets of brown goo.
Yes.
It was nasty. And then we painted the whole house. I'm not going to have to paint my mansion when I get there. Glory be to God. I'm not going to have to do any new flooring. I'm not going to have to do anything. It's going to be glorious. But this door also promises blessed reunions. Now, I grew up saying goodbye all the time. When I was 8 years old, in February, in Old Orchard Beach, Maine, we stood in my uncle's church and we said goodbye to all our relatives and all our friends and got on a plane in Logan International Airport in Boston and flew to Barranquilla, Colombia. We were there in 1966. We came back to the United States, said goodbye to all the friends there and said hello to the friends here, and then 6 months later said goodbye to the friends here and said hello to the friends there. I've been doing this all my life. And then they put us in boarding school. September we said goodbye, said hello in December. Goodbye in January, hello in January at boarding school. And then goodbye at boarding school in June, and hello to our friends in Little Rocco in June. We did this. I did that for 5 years. In and out. One of the glorious things about heaven is I'm never, ever going to say goodbye. Amen? I'm never, ever going to say goodbye. What's glorious about heaven as well is that I can know of. How many know that's different? You ask somebody, "Do you know so-and-so?" And they say, "No, I know of them, but I don't know them." What's the difference between know them and know of them? Well, know them, we shook hands with them, we saw them face to face. Know of them, we saw them on the internet, we saw them on television, we read about them, we saw them in the newspaper. That's know of them. I never met Billy Graham. Never met him. I would have wanted to meet him. I never met Smith Wigglesworth. Jimmy Swaggart, yes, I met him. I was on his plane. I know Donnie personally. I know those people because I've been with those people. But Billy Graham, I don't know. I would have loved to have met John and Charles Wesley. Glory to God. I would have longed to have sat under Whitfield's ministry. These are great heroes of the faith. But I'm going to see them one day, because there's going to be a blessed reunion in heaven. We are promised a happy reunion with all who have gone before us, known and unknown. But you know what's glorious? That when we get there, we're going to know them. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Then we who are alive and remain, the dead rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord. Someone said to me, they said, Pastor, my parents were cremated and they were saved. What's going to happen? How's God going to handle that? Do you think that somebody has drowned in the ocean and their body was never recovered? And they were Christians. Right? What about all those who are buried in Colombia where I grew up? My sister-in-law who was never embalmed. How many of you know what happens to her body? Her casket was not put in a vault. No. It's just put in the ground. How many of you know that if the Lord tarries long enough, there's going to be nothing left of her? Nothing but dust. How more difficult is it for God to take and put dust back together to make your body, or to put ashes back together to make your body? There is no difference. It's a simple thing for God. That's what he says is going to happen. There's going to be a reunion. He's going to put it all back together. Glory be to God. If the body has never been recovered, he's going to put that body and bring it up there. It will be forever recovered. Glory be to God. Amen? This door promises recognition. Someone asked me, they say, Pastor, are we going to know each other? Well, let me read it for you. 1 Corinthians 13:12, and now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. My knowledge is limited, Paul said, but then I shall know just as I also am known. As Jesus knows you, so you will know Jesus. Jesus is omniscient. He knows everything. See, we're not headed towards the morgue. You know that? We're headed towards heaven. We're not headed towards refrigeration where they keep bodies to keep them cool. No, we're headed towards Mount Zion. Glory be to God. But you, Hebrews chapter 12, have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church and the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. What does he say? That's where we're headed. You have come. Glory be to God. When that trumpet sounds and he says, come up hither, like he did in Revelation 4:1, he's going to take us into the company of all those who have gone before. And we're going to know just as we are known. Think of the great emotion of being forever, the first time in our existence, a true know-it-all. Amen. Has anybody ever been accused of being a know-it-all? It doesn't always feel good. Though, if they accuse me of being a know-it-all, I agree with them. Why disagree? If they think I know it all, let them keep thinking I know it all. I know I don't, but let them think I do. Amen. We get to heaven, we're going to be true, awesome, glorious know-it-alls. We're going to know as we are known. This door promises appreciation. I've done many, many funerals, and I'm always, always reminded that when we get to death, when I sat beside my father's bed in our home, and he was breathing his last, thoughts came to my mind. How many know what I'm talking about? They're not pleasant thoughts. They're thoughts of regret. I should have said something. He was still alive and could hear me and could nod and everything, so I said a lot to him then. I didn't have that privilege with my mother, because she was in North Carolina when she passed away, and I was up here. Besides, a year before, she quit understanding anything I said because she had Alzheimer's. But one of the saddest things about gathering around a grave is having regrets. That we didn't say something when we should have said it. Guess what, folks? Let's partner together. We're going to say it now. We're going to give flowers to the living and not the dead, right?
Amen.
We're going to express our appreciation. We're going to say thank you. Someone said to me, and I was accused, in one of the churches I pastored, of saying thank you too often. Boy, did I wear that like a badge. Hello? I wear that like a badge. You're going to hear me say thank you all the time around here. Isn't that right, Debbie? Yeah, and it's sincere. It is sincere. I truly appreciate it. And I don't want to stand here when I have to officiate your funeral. I don't want to stand here and regret that I didn't tell you how much I appreciated you and how much you meant to me. We live in a society that says that sounds hollow and that sounds meaningless. Well, let it sound hollow, let it sound meaningless, but let's do it in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Let's express our appreciation. I don't buy flowers. You can ask Leah. They cost too much. I did when we were in South America because I could get them for next to nothing. I think I bought roses there for 25 cents a rose. So it was easy to buy them, but I'm not. What do they cost now? Here.
$4,000, $40,000.
Anybody bought roses for anybody lately? A dozen? You've probably been given roses, Amanda, all the time. Yeah, Emily, too. Well, not now, but before. Isn't that bad? Isn't that bad? I don't know what they cost now. Are they a dollar a rose? Can I get them for a dollar a rose?
$40 for a dozen.
Yeah? Yeah? $40 a dozen?
Yes.
Whopping catfish. That's a lot of money. Amen. That's a tank full of gas on my Focus. Amen. So I don't give flowers because flowers don't last. But cards do. Hello? A letter does. Hello? A note does. Hello? We can spend our time appreciating one another. Let's decide that here at New Life, we're going to have an appreciation fest the end of this year, right? And we're going to let each other truly know that we appreciate and love them. Amen?
Amen.
This door of promises appreciation. I don't want to get there and wish I had said something heartfelt to my loved ones while they were still with me. No, I want to say it before. You see, I get a second chance when I get to heaven. Now that's glorious. Heaven will be the time of a second chance. We can hug each other. We can express our appreciation with each other. Right? Because God said every death has the need for appreciation. And every soul has their need for the expression of appreciation. I thank God. There's going to be a lot of well done's up there. But you got to be careful. You got to be careful. You know, I say it to Leah all the time. She never gets tired. She bakes something and she says to me, is that any good? Oh, I said, this will win a prize at the local fair. This is the best it's ever been. She made me a carrot cake the other day. I said, you just beat all the other carrot cakes you've made. And she's probably made close to 50 carrot cakes for me in our 50 years of marriage. Maybe even more than that. But it was to die for. And I almost did. She's battling pre-diabetes, and she looks at me and says, I don't like you anymore. You can eat that carrot cake and never have any problems. Went to the doctor and they took my blood pressure twice. I said, why you need to take it twice? Because a man your age shouldn't have blood pressure that low. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well done. Well done. She said to me the other day, she said, I made something and I don't know if it came out right, but did you eat it? I says, yeah. Did it come out right? Well done.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus is going to do that. Listen to what he says. This scripture is very important. I'm going to pray that the Holy Ghost will make this real to your heart and mine all this week. Listen. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on his throne of his glory. And the nations shall be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, the sheep, you and me, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know, I like this, that he's not just starting lately. Have you ever left a task to do to last? Oh, I've got to hurry up and do this. No. He did it. From the foundation of the earth, he says he's done this. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. The righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? We don't remember. Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the... Say it. Least. Doesn't say the most important. Right? It doesn't say you did it to the one that can reciprocate. How many know what I'm talking about in this society we live in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this person can pay you back. Maybe they'll put you in their will. So let's do it. The least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Have you ever seen somebody and they've got a family member that's passing away, and they've had nothing to do with that family member, but that family member has some green, and as they near death, that person that had nothing to do with them for tens of years, all of a sudden, is camping on their doorstep. How many know what I'm talking about? Right? But this is for those that can't reciprocate. This is for those that can't do anything. We did it in Costa Rica. We got there and we set up our house. And I said to my wife, I said, now what's going to happen, Leah, is that we're going to have all the beggars from the area are going to come and knock on our door. And they're going to want money. But we're going to give them food because their story is always going to be the same. I'm hungry. I need, and they'll always carry a baby and a little child, and they'll always be half dressed. Right, Jose?
Yes.
Yeah. And then they'll say, "I'm hungry." So we're going to go to the store, and I bought a 100-kilo bag of rice and a 100-kilo bag of beans. Rice and beans, we love it. In Costa Rica, arroz con frijoles. It's just wonderful. Isn't it, Jose? It's heaven food is what it is. And so, and we took and bought plastic bags, Ziploc bags. And I said, just buy some and we'll just put a twist tie. No, she bought Ziploc bags. And we measured out and weighed out a kilo of rice and a kilo of beans. And we put it by the door. And then they'd come and knock on the door. I'm hungry. I need money to buy food. And we'd walk out with the two bags and give it to them. We had one lady come, she had three children and a baby in her arms, and we walked out with four bags for her. And she looked at us and said, we didn't ask you for any beans and rice, I asked you for money. You need to give me money, you rich American. I said, bye. Bye. I didn't call her unappreciated Costa Rican Tico. No, I didn't. The least of these, the people that can't give anything back. I don't give money to anybody that asks me for money, but if they're hungry, I give them food. You don't know how many times I've taken somebody that was on a street corner begging, saying a sign. How many have seen the signs? I'm hungry. Can you give me something to eat? And I leave them right there. I go to the nearest fast food. I buy them a Happy Meal or whatever you call it in the other places, and I bring it back and I give it to them. You don't know how many have just put it on the ground, and I came back a little while later, headed back in the same direction. They've never touched it. But I did what I was supposed to do. They're not going to stand in that day. And Jesus isn't going to tell me, I was hungry, you did not feed me. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
That's what the door promises. Promise me a reward for what I do for him. The door promises me agelessness, eternity. We're going to live forever.
Amen.
How many like that idea? Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And it's not going to be with achy feet, Peter. No. It's not going to be with a bald head, Joel. No. It's not going to be with an aged body. We're going to have a new body. And we're going to live forever. Someone asked me, they said, Pastor, what are we going to look like up there? And I didn't know what, but my uncle gave me this idea that I like. Because you got to remember, when you interpret history, when you interpret prophecy in the Word of God, when you interpret what heaven's going to be like, you got to take into account the character of God. Right? What's the character of God? I stood on nothing when there was nothing to stand on, and I said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen? The sun is nice, is it not? How many have seen the full moon these past nights? Isn't that pretty? That is beautiful. Amen. That's what he made. He does everything well. Amen?
Amen.
If he can make this earth look as glorious as it is, how is he going to make your body look when you get there? Glory be to God. Now I know I'm handsome as all get out now. But when I get there, I'm even going to be better. Hallelujah. Amen? Because he does everything well. I'm going to be eternal. I'm going to be eternal. Nothing is going to rob me of the enjoyment of heaven. Amen? I don't know about you, but I was driving down an interstate in Mississippi. And I was going right. Everybody was passing me, so I thought I was okay. But then these blue lights wanted to interrupt my happiness. And they pulled me over and gave me a ticket. They ruined my enjoyment.
Yes.
I was enjoying Mississippi. And they came and they messed all over my enjoyment. But up there, nothing is going to mess up my enjoyment. Glory be to God. The lame are going to walk. The blind are going to see. The deaf will hear. The mute will speak. The twisted will be straight. The cough will be silent. The wrinkles will be smooth. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
No more crow's feet on the side of our eyes. Amen? How many have seen the advertisements? It used to be they were all for women. But now they're just peppering our ears with advertisement for men. You look like this when you can look like this. And they tell you, if you buy this expensive stuff and put it on, it's going to take care of everything. How many know that you've seen those, right? That's going to be gone. When that trumpet sounds and this body loses gravity and goes to be with the Lord, do you know what he's going to do? He's going to smooth all the wrinkles. Glory be to God. My glasses are going to stay here, blessed be God. My nose that was operated on when I was a baby and as crooked as a dog's hind leg is going to be straight and perfect. I won't need a plastic surgeon there. Amen? Every faculty will be retained. No stumbling speech, no lack of memory. It's going to be sharp and it's going to be convenient. Laughter is going to ring from one end of heaven to the other. The cheers are going to be heard. No conversation will stutter to a stop. We will know our leader in a new and a perfect power. Glory be to God. Yet indeed, Paul said, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may win Christ and being found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, and that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So what's left? Aren't you glad that this isn't all that's left?
Oh, yes.
Amen? I don't care what happens. I don't care if you were to win the lottery tomorrow and you come and put $100,000 in the offering next Sunday, may God hear you, and we're able to redo the parking lot. I don't really care. That's not all that's left. That's minor compared to what He has for you and I. Glory be to God. Now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. I'm going to believe. Are you? I'm going to hope and I'm going to love. Faith, hope, and love. I'm going to love. Amen. God has no plan for things to be worse. He has plans for only better. Turn to somebody and say better. Glory be to God. An eternal sense of rightness. In 2 Timothy says, Paul says, finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Glory be to God. It's an eternity without erosion. Amen? How many of you have ever gotten out of bed in the morning and you didn't feel all that good? Amen? A few more aches and pains.
Yes.
A few more problems. Not up there, glory be to God. Therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. In the Greek, it means it's getting old. It's decaying. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. How long is our life going to be? I'm 70. See, Paul, you're 73. Joel, you're 70.
75.
Peter?
36.
36, liar. Lord, forgive him, for he knows not what he does. Hit him, Maureen. Amen? So the oldest one here then is Joel, right?
What about Jose?
What are you?
76.
76. And Joel, 75?
Tomorrow?
Oh, glory be to God. We're going to sing in a minute to you. Huh?
74.
You're 74. So the oldest is Jose.
Scary.
Amen? But isn't it glorious? I won't bother to ask Gary, no way, or Lou. They're too young. Amen. Or Bubba. They're young and possible. Oh, he's young. Stephen's even younger yet, and he married a teenager sitting beside him. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Your 76 years are nothing in compared to eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Eternity lasts forever. Is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we do not look for things which are seen, that which is here, but for things which are not seen, glory to God, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I looked, and I saw a door standing open in heaven, First voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. And from that throne proceeded lightning, thunder, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. Redemption is complete and done. Glory be to God. Therefore, and here's the key, Hebrews chapter 12, and let me end. We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, they're watching you.
Yeah.
They're watching me. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. No longer going to say goodbye. No longer going to miss my parents and my brother forever. You know what's fantastic? I have to say this again. I have to say this. Forever, I'm going to be in a better mood.
Wow.
Has Peter been in a bad mood sometime, Maureen? Don't answer that. I won't ask Bertie if Jose's ever been in a bad mood. I know that Possible's never been in a bad mood. Amen. But I'll never, ever, ever be in a bad mood again. Forever a good mood. Isn't that wonderful? Forever a mood of victory. No wondering how this is going to come out. We'll know how this is going to come out. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Our loved ones wait for us. The only way is through the door called Jesus. Amen? Glory be to God. Father, we thank you. Your word is wonderful. We're encouraged this morning as we think of what will be. And we say with one accord, say it with me, even so come, Lord Jesus. Let's say it again. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Get us out of here, Lord. We're tired. We're weary. We want to go to be with you in glory. We want to go to heaven. But we know there's those that have to be saved. So use us this week to lead someone to a saving knowledge of Christ, we pray. And for this we will thank and glorify you. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen and amen. God richly bless you. Amen. Amen and amen.